guys, we know you like to listen to our podcasts and reviews. We know generally that you like to listen to stuff. How about listening to stuff on Audible?
Well, Audible, isn't that what we do?
Well, I mean, we do Audible reviews, but I'm talking about Audible.com. I mean, you're talking about one of the internet's best resources for audio programs from leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and even business information providers.
Like over 150,000 audio programs, adding up to over 1,500,000 hours of audio programming. I don't think we're quite there yet.
No.
Yeah, but
we'll get there.
But, you know, obviously you guys like audio. You're looking for new audio stuff to check out. Audible.com has more than enough of what you're looking for.
And we're proud to call them a sponsor. And as a special gift to you, we're offering you, through Audible, a free audiobook. All you have to do is click on the link on the bottom of this page, or you can go to audibletrial.com/oneofus. And by doing so, not only do you get a free audiobook, but you're helping out the site as well.
And we know you want to do that.
Of course you want to do that.
Because we're standing outside your window watching you right now, wanting to do that.
Absolutely. So stop, look, and most importantly, listen to audible.com.
The first episode, but I'm afraid it's going to drop the ball in the second episode because I've gone through this pattern before, and it did. It completely dropped the ball, and I know exactly what's going to happen. It's going to be a holding pattern until two or three episodes before the last episode, and then they're going to have something big happen, and it can only be solved by the fact that the girl can see and talk to dead stuff, and then that's going to solve the problem, and happy ever after.
Yay!
I guarantee. Yeah. Because it did the exact same thing with another anime. So
when you've been in abusive relationships with anime, you can see the signs.
Yeah.
Remember to recognize the signs and call a help center when you're in danger.
Yep.
Oh yeah. So
don't submit to abuse.
Yeah, you get that, yeah. Dr. Pepper.
And she still hasn't watched Steins Gate.
Nope.
What the hell?
But she wants to watch it. She's also an abomination, I'm going to say that.
Excuse me?
Yeah, what? A complete and total abomination. You're an abomination because you like spoilers. She can't not spoil stuff.
Oh, God.
Like literally the way I got her to watch, like, even got her interested in Steins Gate was spoiling the ending. And then she's like, oh, I want to watch this now.
Oh, my God, I'm so jealous.
Ending. I don't want to get invested. I can get about things.
Yeah, no, like Unlimited Blade Works and Fate Zero, the same fucking thing, too.
Oh my God, I am so jealous. You have no idea how jealous I am.
Yeah.
Because I've become the cranky old man with the shotgun on the porch because I cannot stand spoilers anymore. I actively do not watch trailers.
Yeah, I told her that. She freaked out.
What?
Yeah.
He doesn't watch trailers either anymore.
Yeah. No, here's the thing. I have very specific rules. Like, if it's something that I know I'm already gonna watch.
Yeah.
Like, if I've already heard enough, the hype is enough that I already know I'm gonna watch it, there's no need for me to watch a trailer. Because the only thing a trailer can do is build up my expectations that might potentially get dashed out.
I disagree, because most of the time trailers, I look at it and I go,
nah,
it's gonna be shit.
but if it's something. Well, but if it's something like I haven't...
A good trailer means this. It does not mean that the project will be good. It means it simply has a chance not to suck ass.
But it has spoilers in it. Fuck that.
No, it doesn't! What spoilers do you get from a fucking trailer?
Oh, have you ever seen...
Oh,
what was that movie? What was the movie? Jodie Foster on the airplane?
Jodie Foster on the
Flight
airplane
plan.
The movie?
Yeah. Flight Plan.
Yes, like the thing is, like, the whole plot of it was, she's on an airplane and her kid disappears, but then everybody's telling her that her kid isn't real, that there was never a kid on the plane,
that's creepy.
And that he's dead, and like that her kid died. And she's like, no, my kid is right there. And the whole thing is, in the trailer, they give you definitive proof, like not something that is not being, could not be hallucinated, definitive proof that the kid existed.
Everything can be hallucinated.
Well, yeah, like as long as we assume that the cameraman is being objective, but other people react to it.
That's where your mistake is.
Well, yeah, but
and
that was
that
the thing.
That can be a hallucination too. Literally everything around me, and you could be a hallucination.
Yes, but that wasn't how the movie was made.
You talking to me could all be in my own mind.
It could. It probably is.
Very true.
Never believe the movie.
Yeah, but that was the thing. The trailer basically showed her proving that her kid was alive, and it was like, oh.
Well, that's a shitty trailer. That's not the fault of all fucking trailers.
Yes, it is.
Don't discriminate against trailers just because one of them hurt you.
I've had too many of them have hurt me is the thing. And if I'm on the fence, like if I'm not sure I'm going to see the movie or not, then I'll watch the trailer. If I need my mind, like I need to decide, then I'll watch the trailer. But if I've already like decided like beforehand, I'm going to see this movie, I don't need to see the trailer. So I don't want to.
Well, people are weird.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of weird like that. Well, like, I mean, what was it? Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Like Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, the trailer for that. There's have you seen the trailer? Have you seen the movie?
I haven't seen either because I was
okay. Both. Okay,
they weren't that bad. They
Richard,
weren't
do you
great.
Want to know?
Okay.
No, actually, I am gonna watch both of those at some point. Dawn and Battle?
Dawn and Rise.
Rise.
But do you want me to say this?
No.
Okay, then I won't. I'll just say that the trailer. Do not watch the trailer because it's hell, Richard. Remember, this is going on a different, going back to anime, Madoka Magica, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
God. The scene where she has the grief seed in her mouth and she breaks it.
Yeah.
That's like from the third fucking reel.
Yeah. No, I remember that.
And like,
that.
The entire movie builds up and I was like, where's that scene? Where's that scene? Where's that scene? I know that scene's coming. Where's that? So even when it comes up to the climax, I'm just like, but I know that scene's coming. So this can't be the end.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. even when it has that fake climax.
See, then you stop trying to attach yourself to trailers. Watch them once, get the feeling of good or bad, and then you leave it the fuck alone. You don't fucking obsess
exactly,
over it.
Exactly, like, that's why. If I see a movie trailer and it makes my mind for me, I won't watch any more trailers.
Yep.
Exactly. But if I already know I'm going to see the movie, if I've already, just like, I know I'm going to see the Terminator movie. Whether it's good or bad, I know I'm going to see it. I don't need to see trailers for it.
It has Arnold. It has the Governator. Ugh. Your Governator.
No. Why is he in movies still? God. No. You don't get to call him that. You're not from California.
Trust me, everybody called him that.
Not California exclusive rights. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. You can say that.
I am saying it.
Not true.
It's fact.
It's not true.
It's fact. My opinion is fact.
Yeah, yeah, we saw how that's worked out this week, huh?
Huh?
People thinking opinion is fact.
But I know, or my opinion is that you guys didn't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
But I actually know for a fact, I'm staff, I know we didn't. I said that's my opinion!
So, anyway, so that was a very long preamble. This is the Wayward Podcast. I am Toshi. This is the podcast where we talk about Japanese stuff and stuff in Japan. Today I have two guests. I have my colleague Richard.
Hi, I'm a colleague.
My colleague at writer at Kotaku, fellow writer at Kotaku. Mm-hmm.
That is
and,
what I am.
Yes. If you want to talk more about yourself, Richard, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So I'm Richard Eisenbeiss. I work at Kotaku.com. I write about anime and video games on the internet.
And you are currently living in Japan. And how long have you been living in Japan?
10 years.
10 years. Wow. Such a long and short time, really. But, we also have a guest, another guest, an unexpected guest.
Yes.
Richard's good friend, Ren.
Hey, guys.
Yes. You want to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hello. I'm Ren, and I'm a friend of Richard's.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been in Japan?
Oh, God. 10 months now, I guess.
Oh, she's a newbie.
Aww.
Wow.
My little baby shoes.
I can't.
Yep.
Oh my God, your spirit hasn't been broken yet. Does that mean?
Nope, not quite yet.
Not yet.
Oh goody.
It'll get there.
Oh yeah.
Oh good.
We'll get there.
Okay. So actually, we have a very green novice and a very experienced old crotchety cranky guy. So.
And then we have you, the guy who's been back and forth for what ever.
17, 18 years, yeah.
Going back and forth. So that's almost exactly half your life, isn't it?
Yes, actually. It's reached the point where I've now been in Japan longer than I have been in the States, which is kind of depressing in some way. Currently, so Richard, you have been living in Japan. I think this is something an interesting topic we could actually talk about, being that, living in Japan for so long, you have actually had your fair share I'll call it racism.
Why? Japan's, because it is?
Japan's very, the very unique and very subtle way in which Japan treats foreigners like shit. I think we can actually talk about this in our very recent experience with your moving.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I've moved in Japan actually a grand total of 4 times now. And I've never had even half as much trouble as I had this time. The first time I moved, when I first moved here, the company I was working for provided housing. The second place, when I moved up from southern Japan to the Tokyo area, the company was nice enough that they were like, oh, we found a place that's going to cost this much. Is that okay? And I went, And it was fine. At the time, it was fine. It was before I had things like a 42-inch TV and a surround sound system and a couch.
It was before you needed space for your things. Right.
Before living in a box was no longer acceptable.
Right. When literally everything I owned fit in 2 suitcases.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was a nice time. But, then the next time I moved, I did again the kind of let the company help me find a place. And then the time after that, though, was the first time that I was completely on my own. But I was kind of out, still the Tokyo area, but very far out in the suburbs, almost to the point where it becomes the countryside. And there I had no trouble at all finding a place. Nobody really cared. They were just like, oh, you're a foreigner? Okay, sure, here you go. Nobody cared. It was really nice. Mm-hmm. But this time, when I was moving much more into Tokyo proper, it went bad real fast.
Yes. Hearing your accounts, actually hearing your rants was rather interesting.
Yeah, it's the whole thing of, you know, they have the list of what you're not allowed to have in an apartment. You know, it'll say, no pets.
No pets,
It'll say, no musical instruments. And then next to that, it'll say, no foreigners. Woof, woof.
Yep.
That reminds you of the few other things?
Yeah. I'm a non-human. And that sounds terrible, but that's just the pessimism of years of being here. Because you're not quite a person. You're somewhere above a dog, but you're not quite a person.
Yeah.
Like, they look at you and they go, oh, it thinks it's people.
No,
it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. You don't know. Yep. It could bite you, those gaijins.
They all have guns. They all don't have you guns. Know that?
Oh, that's right. I told you that story.
Oh, yes. Share that story.
My first job out of college. I had part-time jobs in college here. But my first real job out of Japan was teaching in an English conversation school. Here, one of the big 3, as they call it.
Okay. Well, you don't have to divulge which of the big 3, but what are the big 3?
The big 3 are, or at the time were, I suppose, Nova, Geos, and Eon.
Yeah. Now that's actually kind of changed a bit due to some scandals.
Yeah, now I think it's Berlitz and Geos and Eon, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe ECC? Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of them here in Japan. But
Yeah.
And, Yeah, so I was teaching our highest level class, and it's a discussion class where you're supposed to basically debate various cultural issues, like going out every night drinking after work, like, is that something that should be done or not done, or things like that, right? 1 week's issue was gun control, of all things. Oh,
in Japan.
In Japan. Yeah. In a country where firearms are practically illegal. They're not actually illegal, like, for hunting and for certain sports you can have a gun, but the average person cannot own a gun.
No, the paperwork and stuff involved in, like, getting a hunting gun is a nightmare.
Yeah, it's just like it's insane. It's almost a non-issue. I don't know. Actually, yeah, given your age, Toshi, when you were kids, was that still the time when cops weren't allowed to carry guns?
When I was a kid, I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was in the early, mid-90s or something where the cops were allowed to start carrying guns. So up until that point, the only people with guns were the Yakuza.
Yeah. Gangsters, and then the police got them. So now you have the lovely combination of only the people who would be trying to murder you and the people who are trying to murder the people trying to murder you have guns.
Fantastic stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
But, so it was gun control, though, but gun control in Japan is really a non-issue.
Yeah.
Because no one has guns.
Yeah.
And so that's it. Like, that's the end of the discussion. There was never a right to bear arms, so there's no existing
guns in the native population already.
Yeah.
That's also the other thing.
So, yeah, like, it's kind of a non-issue. But, so I was really surprised when, like, I expected everyone to just take the side of pro-gun control because that's the society they live in. But I noticed that everybody, while we were having this discussion, and of course all my students were Japanese, and a lot of them were college professors, actually, in this class. Hmm. A couple of them had doctorates, in fact, in that class. And so, yeah, we're sitting there, we're talking about this, but I can tell everybody's really hesitant and that they're really kind of withdrawn more than normal. And suddenly I got the dumbest idea I'd ever had in my entire life and decided to voice it. And I said to them, how many of you think I have a gun on me right now? And a good 75% of the class raised their hands.
Oh, my God.
So, just, like that's how much, like, the idea of American and gun are ingrained in, like, the popular culture of Japan.
Yeah.
I have a fun story about that, too.
Oh, really?
Yes. Oh. So, in one of the courses I was taking, studying Japanese, after that semester ended, I left the class with some of the teaching assistants who were Japanese, you know, students who just volunteered their time to help us. So me, another American, and Japanese guy and girl went to just out to dinner. And on the walk there, the guy actually decided he wanted to talk and practice in English, and I was like, okay, sure. And we somehow got onto the subject of him asking me if in America I owned a gun. My response was, of course, well, no, I don't have a gun. And he says, no, I know you don't have it on you right now, but, like, in America, do you own a gun? And I was like, no, I don't own a gun. I don't have one. I've never had one. He goes, okay, well, yeah, not you, but what about your mom and dad? And I'm like, no, they don't own a gun either. And they're like, your siblings? So I'm like, no one in my family owns a gun. Why are you asking this? And he's like, well, does anyone you know own a gun? And I'm like, no! Literally no one I know owns a gun in America. And he was like, but it's America. Don't you own a gun? And I'm like, no. Why on earth would I own a gun? Like, the only people who own guns are either criminals, farmers, or, like, hunters. And he just got so confused. He's like, why would a farmer have a gun? I'm like, I don't know. Ask a farmer. But, like, I think the main confusion came from, like, he was using motsu and trying to translate that directly into English, which not only means to own, but also means to have or to carry.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a fun, like, 10-minute discussion of me insisting that not all Americans own guns, and he just refused to believe me when I said I had never seen or touched a gun in my entire life.
Mm. Yep. And that's the fun thing about, like, what you have to remember, like, when I try to explain it to Japanese people, I always use the example of how we look at Japan growing up. Japan is what? Ninjas, samurai, and Godzilla.
Godzilla.
And the way they see America is Jack Bauer and cowboys. Yeah. And that's pretty much it.
Wait, you forgot Num Num.
Yes, giant robots. Yeah, yes. That's true. Yeah. Giant robots, yes. Also in the
Japan. Yeah, if you get into the subculture area, it's giant robots, tentacle porn, and the weird stuff. And apparently people, yeah, and like used panties sold in vending machines.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Those did exist, though, when I was first
They here. Did exist. They did. Well, supposedly used. And they did exist. I don't think... Do they exist now?
I have not seen one, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's one in Akihabara.
Probably.
I have not heard of... Maybe there's one somewhere hidden somewhere in one of the, like, the back streets of Akihabara, maybe. But
yeah.
I doubt they still exist. Yeah.
Oh, Japan.
Anyways.
But yes, yes, sorry. So that was our long sidetrack about... me trying to find an apartment. No,
yes.
So yeah, this time though, I was moving into Tokyo proper, and yeah, it was very clearly like no gaijin allowed and in a lot of places. And I found a couple places that even on the ad it said gaijin okay. And then I contacted them and they're like, no. And it
really?
Came down to
oh,
it.
Wow.
I sat for, I had a terrible real estate agent who just did not want the trouble of having to deal with a foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, from the moment I walked in the door, and I was in there with him for maybe 20 minutes, he was just like, what you want doesn't exist, you're never going to find it.
Oh,
you
wow.
You should leave. And I was like, I will leave then. Peace. And I went back to this other guy who had been helping me, this other real estate agent. This guy, like, I'm upset that I didn't end up buying from him. I wanted to. I wanted him to get a commission because of how much he helped me. One day, he sat there for 6 hours with me, calling every place he could think of. Like, any place that was within where I wanted to live, like that area. He spent 6 hours calling places, and at least 90% of them were like, whoa, a foreigner? No.
Wow.
No, everybody knows how loud and violent they are. We don't want them around.
Yep.
So
you have to disinfect the apartment after they leave.
Yeah, no, and even that was the worst one. Is there was an apartment that I found that was only going
condemned.
To be there for a year. Like they were tearing it down at the end of the year because real estate is very valuable in Japan. So a lot of apartments get torn down, even if they're only like 10 or 20 years old, so they can put up
only
a 10
or 20 years old. Oh, Richard, I would like to interject here. Any house that is older, any house older than 10 years old. Is worthless.
Yeah.
Basically, if you're buying a house that's older than 10 years, you're just buying the plot. You're buying the land. You are not buying the house.
Yeah, so so that was the thing. It's like, so this place was actually really big, very cheap, good location, and they're going to tear it down. And I was like, well, okay. I mean, I don't really want to move again in a year, but maybe that's for the best. So I looked into it. You know, I put in the paperwork. I was all ready to do it. The adjoining apartment had a foreigner in it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it'd all be okay. And then, nope, like 4 days or 5 days later, they're like, no, sorry. The real estate agent said gaijin were okay. Foreigners were okay. But not the owner. The owner said no. And I'm like,
wow.
I'm like, but the next door neighbor is a foreigner and they're tearing it down in a year. Like, is my money just not good enough? Like,
obviously, you touched it. Your germs are on it.
I guess.
Wow.
Like, I get, like they, I guess they'd never be able to exercise the building site.
No.
Yep.
Right? I don't know what I could possibly have done in 1 year to despoil the plot.
Like, Think of all the
to lower the property
you could have
value.
Salted the earth with.
I guess.
All the radiation you could have buried in there.
I guess. Man.
No, Japan's doing a good enough job by itself, but.
Wow! Oh my god!
Yes, but so that's one of the hazards of that's interestingly enough that's one of the hazards of owning stuff, living in Japan, owning more than just like fit in one of those tiny 6 tatami apartments.
It's crazy though, like. I found a place that I'm happy with and does fit all my stuff and I like a lot, but it took almost a month of constant looking to find this place. And yeah,
it is a very nice place. So yeah, I will say that.
Yeah, it's a good place. It is definitely that. But boy, it was a lot of work to find it.
A lot of work to get there too.
Yeah,
I might add, having helped you move.
Yeah,
but
yeah, and it's one of those, unfortunately, where everything has to go through the front door.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, front doors in Japan, not especially wide.
Yeah. Well, that's actually one of the interesting things about living in Japan. You learn to be creative with space.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so it's really, it's very often, it's very weird going back to the States and just like having space for your stuff.
Oh yeah. One of my friends, recently like moved into a house of their own and they're like, oh, it's really small and tiny. And it's like five times bigger than my apartment. And they're like, it's just so tiny. You know, it's really cheap and really tiny. And I'm just like, kidding me? I dream of that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And of course, because space is a premium, the how much it costs to rent shit.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. The prices are high. Mm-hmm. Best word of advice is stay the hell out of Tokyo. literally, if you can be even one stop into a different prefecture, your rent will go down by $300
a month.
Wow. Oh, yes.
Like, yeah, just cross the river into Chiba or Saitama.
Mm-hmm. Kanagawa, not so lucky.
Yeah, Kanagawa has Yokohama, so.
Yeah, well, Kanagawa wants to be Tokyo, yeah. So.
They want to be.
Oh, yes.
Posers.
I've said it many times, like, I live in Machida, and Machida is the city that wants to be Shinjuku. It wants very hard to be Shinjuku.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Do they have a station I can get lost in for 6 hours?
Yes, oh. Machida Station.
They work hard.
They're up and comers.
Yep. Yeah, I took my friend Chris there. It's just like, after we'd walked around Shinjuku, we went to Machida later on to get dinner at one point. This was a different day. I was like, notice how similar this place is? Like, do you get the feeling you've been here before? Yeah. Machida wants very hard to be Shinjuku.
Yeah. Shinjuku is the only place I have walked around, and I'm not sure if there were two Lushes in that station, or if I just made a complete circle, because I honestly could not tell.
Yeah.
It's a mess. I've spent way too long at that station.
It's literally an RPG dungeon, that place.
It is.
Yeah.
Yep.
And if you don't have a good healer, you're all gonna die.
Yes.
Yeah, you want healers. Exactly.
And you need a bard to translate. Because if you don't have a bard, you're doomed.
Lost forever in the underground labyrinth.
Attempting to navigate Japanese with the people at the help desk.
Yay!
And then only after you fail drastically are they like, you can speak in English. And then you just stare at them like, why didn't you just say that? Why do you gotta be like that? I was nice. I approached you politely. I came out to have a good time, and all I did was get hurt.
And lost.
Yes.
But mostly lost. Yes.
Mostly lost.
But actually, Richard, this is interesting that I have you here, being that you, like myself, work for Kotaku, a video game, quote-unquote video game site. What is your impression of the video game scene in Japan, actually?
Video game
in comparison
scene?
To the West. Yeah, well, video games in general, the business, the genre itself in Japan. You've been through the 90s. You lived through the 90s in the States, right?
Yes, I did live through the
90s. Through the video, first, well, not the first, but the second video game boom with the PlayStation boom and all that.
I grew up first on an Atari 2600 and then a Nintendo Entertainment System, then a Super Nintendo, an N64, a PlayStation, a Sega Saturn. Yeah.
So you kind of got that whole in the 90s, the whole like Japan is where the cool video game, where the cool stuff is happening. Yeah, actually moving here, how is it?
Well, the industry has changed so much since.
Yeah, obviously.
Since we were kids, but basically the big difference between Japan and America, at least game wise, is Japan is all about the portable systems. Yep. Not about the AAA home releases.
Yep.
It's cheaper to make for a portable, and more people have it. More people have portables.
And more people will get it if it's portable.
And more people will buy it if it's portable. Yeah. And what this all kind of comes back to culturally is the fact that most Japanese homes, even today, only have one TV. And TV is such an integral part of Japanese culture. It's what you talk about at work.
Oh my God, you know? Yes.
Like, if you are not watching the top one of the top dramas or game shows or you know, variety program, if you're not watching those things, then there's nothing for you to socialize about at work, and therefore you're going to be considered like a social outcast, which means you're not going to do well at your job because you're not a team player.
Yeah.
Like, it's all this horrible cycle. So when mom and dad get home from work, they're going to watch TV every night. That's what's going to happen. So they're not going to let, you know, their kids use the TV to play video games.
Yep. The only time kids get to play video games is that short span, essentially that short span between when school is out and when dad comes home.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're a kid, though, and you're in a club, well, you're not coming home till like 7 o'clock at night. So,
yep.
No time for games. So, like, TV game, like, games on a TV, they're just, it's almost impractical. And it makes sense why the Wii U has the gamepad that allows you to play games on it instead of on your
TV. Or the PS4 with the PS Vita.
Right, how you can just press, especially with the Wii U, though, where you can press one button, and then suddenly the TV is free and the kid's playing on the gamepad. That's why they did that. It had no other purpose other than that right there.
And why almost all Nintendo main IPs come out on the DS.
Yep. Yeah, the 3DS is the big one because...
Have you seen the the Wii U releases?
No.
The upcoming three... For the next, I think, 3 or 4 months... nothing but amiibos.
Ha!
I'm serious. Like, there's like maybe one or two games. I think there was a Mario something. I think Xenoblade is one of the ones that
came out today.
Yeah, that's not an amiibo. Like, one of the things on the list that's not an amiibo. Everything else on that list, amiibo.
Ha.
For the Wii U. The 3DS is doing fine. The 3DS is a great list, upcoming game list, but.
Yeah. Even the Wii U is struggling, even with their. Even with their. You know, business plan to make it workable. The whole thing is, and in the West, the average gamer age is what, around 30 now, I believe is what the statistics are.
No idea.
Yeah, it's something like that. Like, as most of my generation has grown up, we have not stopped being gamers. We've continued playing games. And that has, raised the average to like 30. Which means there's people that are in their 50s and 60s playing games, and there's people, you know, teens and kids playing games. So you have a very diverse market. You know, you can put out something cute, put out a Mario game for all ages, and then you can put out Call of Duty for the teenagers, and then you can put up something with a, like, real adult focus for the adults.
Yeah.
You know, something that's different, that's not a, well, how do we put this a nice way? Not
Is there a nice way?
You can put out games like, say, Gone Home, which is, an exploration of growing up, but not in an exciting, action-filled way, but more like in a
Or something like the Walking Dead.
Yeah, you can have a narrative, very narrative-heavy, like, lots of, like, hardcore adult themes.
Depression Simulator?
Yeah, Depression Simulator, yeah. Good stuff like that.
God, I love that game.
But yeah, so yeah, you can. So that's what's happened in the West as I've grown up. What's happened in Japan is when you enter a company at the grand old age of 22 or 23 years old, you're expected to give up your hobby. And so most people stop playing games, stop watching anime, stop. Even reading manga, a lot of them do, when they enter a company.
Well, I will say that has gradually changed. It is changing.
Yeah. I mean I've heard more and more, but...
But up until very recently, I would say up until early 2000s, that was the norm.
I have a friend at a game company. At a game company. Mm-hmm. He makes video games. And his boss regularly asks him if he's going to stop playing video games and get a real adult hobby.
Like golf.
Like golf. Because that's the acceptable hobby. Like, even going to see movies isn't really that acceptable. It's like, no, you're going to play golf.
Well, movies are seen as a way for socializing, with relationship socializing. There are, say, movies in Japan are essentially a place to take your date.
Yeah. And there's always the interesting thing that, like, okay, when I say you're expected to give up your anime hobby or your game hobby, that's generally true, but there's always an exception, and the exception is something you have watched continuously since you were a kid. So it's okay to like One Piece. That's what I'm saying. Yes. It's okay to like Dragon Ball.
Coming out with a new anime.
Yeah, those are the things that it's okay to like. Even, and if you're older, it's okay to like Evangelion, because it's managed to stay popular for so many years. But like when we're talking like a person watching four or five series a season or something like that, yeah. No, that's like social suicide. When
or someone like us, who
yeah.
pretty much has to watch 10,
yeah.
at least. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that like that would be social suicide in most companies.
Nerd.
Yeah. They'd be like, nerd, that freak, yeah. why can't he grow up?
Yeah. What a nerd.
Yeah. Not good stuff.
Oh, yes.
And so because of that, though, the average Japanese gamer age is still in the mid-teens. It hasn't risen like yeah. it has in the Western world.
Well, there is a slight, it has probably raised them a bit thanks to the Wii in an elder retired community in like the Wii is now used
yeah.
basically in nursing homes.
Yeah.
So I guess you could say that artificially raises the average a bit.
Probably.
But the main focus is generally teens. Yes. Very
yeah.
much so.
It's. That's why the big games in Japan are the ones that elementary, middle school, and high schoolers play. Monster mm-hmm. Hunter, Pokemon, Smash mm-hmm. Brothers. Yeah. These are the big games, you know. Mario. These are the games that sell like gangbusters in Japan. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that Call of Duty does bad. It actually does really surprisingly well in Japan.
Yep.
Each iteration does, like, because there is very much a dedicated fan base mm-hmm. for it. But no Japanese company is trying to aim for that demographic either.
No. I don't think... God, is there... Does Japan have an FPS series?
No.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with no on that one.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, and I'm just like, nothing's coming. No.
Yeah, so... I mean, there are always exceptions. And if you're really into games, the people you meet are probably the exceptions. But the one thing that people need to be very clear on about Japan is it is not some gamer, anime, lover paradise.
No.
At all.
No.
Nope.
At all. It's pretty much identical, well, at least... I guess it's about identical to how it was when I was growing up. Like, if you watch a lot of anime, people are like, "Oh, okay." Yeah. Like,
I think. Well, I do think that it's that part. Like the anime, has been somewhat accepted. Like the subculture part of Japan, like manga and anime and games, have been somewhat accepted as a part of society, but. Not it doesn't permeate the society,
right?
Like it's accepted as that sort of childhood, in a way, as a childhood adolescent phase.
Yeah,
that people eventually grow out of. Although I would say because people are growing up and there are more people who are learning because of Western influence to be more true to themselves, to be more accepting of themselves and nonconformist to the sort of rigid, step ladder. Corporate society that dominated in the 80s and 90s, that I would say that some people are starting to carry their hobbies with them.
Yeah.
Well, and that's remaining true to themselves. But
A lot, like one of the big crises in modern Japanese society is the fact that a lot of young people don't want to enter the company lifestyle anymore.
Yeah.
You know, the basically work 14-hour days for 15, 20 years before your job starts to become somewhat normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People look at that and they go, why would I put in the time for that? Like, yeah. That's stupid. Especially because they, like, a large group of Japanese people who are coming of age have figured out that working two part-time jobs, you can make more money than working a full-time job.
Yeah.
And yep. That changes everything. Like, you make more money up front, can do what you like, actually work set hours. Nobody tells a convenience store worker to work for an extra 5 hours without pay every day, no. Right?
Nope.
And so, yeah, you do two of those jobs, and you're more financially secure than these people that are suffering for years to try to get a solid job, you know?
Which is also no longer a guarantee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing, the fact that, like, that's one of the big, I think, one of the big sort of shattering realities is the fact that it used to be that way. It used to be the fact, like, you enter a job, you know, become an employee for a company, and, you know, you work your way up the ladder, and you work it until retirement, but you're secure, you know, and as sucky as the lifestyle is, like, you know, working, toiling hour after hour, day after day, week after week for, like, meager pay, that slowly, but gradually, but I guess you could say it's slowly and gradually, but you're pretty much guaranteed to get a raise.
True.
Yeah.
It's that sort of guaranteed sort of safety net. Mm-hmm. Then working until retirement and pension, like, you know, that sort of lifestyle, I guess there is a security in that, and that's no longer, there used to be, and even that's not secure anymore. It's no longer a guarantee.
Yeah. I believe the average is very, very low of the amount, like, sorry, when you enter a job in Japan, like a company job, you're almost, at least traditionally, you're staying for life. Yeah. Japanese people don't switch jobs or change careers, generally.
No.
But now, of course, that's starting to change, and society's not quite prepared for it.
Yeah, I think there's only one area where that has not changed at all.
Government jobs?
And that's government jobs, yeah. Thank you.
Because government jobs have perfect job security.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah, they're the ultimate sought-after job. It's like, this job is going to be boring and it's going to suck, but you'll never have to worry about losing it.
Yeah, you'll never have to worry about losing it. You'll never have to worry about getting your pay docked or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, easily the most stable job in Japan.
Yeah. Which makes people who are on that career path very sought after as well. Like, not just their jobs, but the people who are on that career path, they're sought after too. Like, they're seen as, like, yep. Men who, interestingly enough, only men, but men who have gone a career path for a government job are seen as very, you know, sought after, eligible.
Yeah, they are the eligible bachelors.
Marriage material. Yes.
Because they can support my family.
Yep.
They also don't have to quit when they get pregnant.
Yay!
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 Yay! Lack of daycares in Japan.
Yay, sexism. Oh, yeah. Yay!
Yep.
Sorry.
But I think it's coming at, you know, it's coming at a point where, like, as societally, it's kind of, you know, the cracks in the porcelain are starting to show.
Yeah.
And, like, it's not keeping up.
And it doesn't help that Japan has a very top-heavy society.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Japan is a nation that's birth rate is declining.
Yeah.
Has been declining for years, to the point where there are far more jobs than job openings. Jobs than people to fill those jobs. That's what I meant to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as these people are, you know, basically having to retire because it's pretty much forced retirement at age 60.
I think there's talk about raising that retirement age, though.
They're going to have to, or else they won't have enough people to fill the jobs.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
But that, even that's a temporary solution. And so that's happening. And then you also have a large subset of people going, I don't want to go into a company job. Are you crazy? I'll just work two, like, service jobs and have free time.
Mm-hmm. And have a life.
Yeah.
And friends.
And then you get even the more, like, I guess, over-the-top version of that, where they'll work three jobs. Like, they'll work every waking moment for 6 months
mm-hmm.
and then not work for 6 months.
Yep.
And that happens too.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's working life in Japan at this point.
Yeah. It's kind of actually seen interest. I find it interesting also the fact that it's also seen as a crisis. The fact that companies are also switching away from the full time employee to like the sort of part time or contract employee model.
Which is even worse because the contracted employees don't get the benefits.
Just job security. Yeah, they don't get the benefits, they don't get the job security. But at the very same time, like it's kind of an interesting dichotomy in the fact that like people are more and more the young people are moving away from the permanent jobs, and the companies at the same time are also moving away from the permanent jobs. And at the same time, it's also seen as a very, it's like, it seems like you hear that, like the companies are moving away from the permanent jobs. The people looking for jobs are moving away from the permanent jobs.
But they're still not looking for those jobs.
But it's seen as a crisis.
Yeah. Assault on traditional values.
Yes.
The young people are too strange and crazy.
Yeah, look at them. Yes. They don't know how to sacrifice for their future.
The youths. Yeah. They're out of control.
That's where the idea for Battle Royale comes from.
That the youths are out of the control.
Yes.
I thought that whole movie was about the entire education system of Japan pitting everyone against each other to a point where they destroy one another to climb on top.
No idea. I don't know the undertones.
Yep.
Dead silence.
Dead air. Yeah. All I know is the background of the story itself, like the story itself, and not what went into the ideas behind it. I've never thought that deeply about it. So.
Well, I just thought it was an interesting concept, especially like it is actually quite a good film. Watch Battle Royale now.
Yeah.
Yes.
You pitched that. You pitched that good.
I got paid $200 for this.
Yay!
But not really. Can someone give me $200? I would love $200.
Yes.
For $200, yeah, I'll say anything for $200.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Corruption.
Corporate corruption, please.
Warning.
No. Don't rat us out.
Yeah. Anyways, we've been going on for how long now? About 40, 50, nearly an hour?
Yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there. And as I promised, because you have things to do, you're a very busy person, I think. This is we actually got some very interesting in-depth talk too.
Yeah.
So, so I guess this is a good cutting off point as if ever. I don't know what I'm going to do for the outro music. I'll pick something at random. Usually what we do with this podcast is we have somebody chooses a Japanese song, a random Japanese song to go out on, but I'm not gonna force that on you out of the blue all of a sudden, so I'll pick something at random. Anyways, this has been, I guess this is a good cutting off point, and I'll just say this is the Wayward Podcast. I'm Toshi.
Okay, I'm Richard Eisenbus.
And I'm Ren.
And I guess we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.